right, Mitchell, you had a tweet yesterday. You had a couple tweets about this area, but one of them I just want to read, get the conversation going. A recent study by Lenkey Technologies found that 1/3 of respondents under the age of 34 would postpone marriage until their student debts are paid off. What does that tell you?
That's like one of so many different ridiculous statistics I was looking at. That one and several of these others, like this, there's this argument that over the past couple of decades, we started to see some really ridiculous trends of people delaying life milestones as a result of walking out of college with tons of debt. So I don't think it's just the debt. I think it's also like,
sure,
you're waiting 4 years. So now, you know, traditionally people are getting married sooner, you know, when you weren't accumulating a ton of debt, like some of these things weren't as big of a deal, like buying a house, for instance, right, or having kids or getting married or any of that kind of stuff. But now people are waiting to graduate college. They're leaving college with, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt. They're out there in the dating market, and the average potential spouse also has the same rain cloud over their head. It's like, right, hey, is this really something we want to do? So
yeah,
it's the surprising thing is some of these studies go a little bit deeper, like into actually talking about people's perception of debt and making that more calculated decision. Hey, do I actually want to date somebody with debt? Do I want to marry somebody with student debt? And it's just kind of crazy that it has become that much a part of the culture, like that much of a hurdle in culture today. People are like, I'm going to put my entire life on hold because I have this, you know, this 20-year reminder of a really bad financial decision I made.
Yeah. I want to go back to like, okay, so there's been cultural, social trends over the last 30, 40 years. People are getting married later. They're having kids later. You know, there's a lot more renters than owners as far as housing goes, et cetera. And I think broadly speaking, we're all aware of those trends, and they're usually chalked up to just higher costs of living related to them. And it's interesting to see, you know, some of the tweets you had yesterday pointing out specifically like student debt and the role that college plays into them. And so at with Praxis and everything, we always talk about, you know, the value of college is very overestimated by the average person and whatnot, but it's usually within the scope of your professional life. And it's like, all right, you know, both in terms of student debt, you know, that's shackling you as you're getting started with your professional life, and, you know, the learning and education, earning potential, getting started in the workforce, you're just delaying these things. But I think it's worth talking about like the delay of social life that mm-hmm. college presents, because usually that's like the number one argument for college is social life. And you have to, you know, it's a continuation of being socialized, like, you know, the common arguments for K-12 and everything. And it's actually, you know, there's some hidden costs to college socially as well.
Yeah. Like very, very negative ramifications in many cases. Like we're talking, you know, it's not just like waiting to get married later, which in and of itself, that's an argument whether that even matters. But we're talking about like people deliberately preventing or deliberately hesitating to do things that they want in their life because they have student debt. And it's like, I would go do these other things in my life, but I can't, or I feel like I can't, or I feel just immense pressure. And the other side of the equation here, though, is some of these survey statistics about people that go ahead and pull the trigger on these things anyway, where they're like, I'm worried about getting married, I'm worried about having kids, I'm worried about buying a house, but we're going to go ahead and do that anyway, because I feel like that's, you know, that's the American dream. That's what I want to do. here's another crazy statistic, said 57% of student loan borrowers say student loans are a major stress in their relationships with their spouse or significant other. And so it's like, even if you do go ahead and do that, like a lot of people are like, their lives are being negatively impacted as a result of this, because it's, you know, I can just imagine my day-to-day life. Like, let's think about these scenarios for a second, where it's like, you've got, especially if you both are coming into a relationship with student debt. Now it's like, we are now making decisions about things we can't do because we have to pay these loans off. Like, these are rain clouds over our head that we can, you know, we either got to pay them all off right now and suffer for the next few years, like really reduce our standard of living if we got the kind of job and income that college, you know, led us to believe we could get. You know, heaven forbid you're making less than what you expected to be. But like, now you are walking through life like it's a field of landmines and you're trying not to step on them. You're like, I can't go on vacation because I have student loan debts. I can't go buy a new TV. Like, you know, whether that's a good or bad idea. Like, your whole life is beholden to paying off these debts for 4 years of debauchery and socialization and whatever the case. It's just so stupid.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this is a rant episode. I can already tell, and I'm just going to lean into it. The thing that gets me, and I think it was our good friend Nate that retweeted your tweet and commented this, of you're at the same time we are pushing people into college, and well, not we are not doing that. Other people are pushing young people into college and essentially applauding them for taking on all this debt, and that has these, you know, costs to their, you know, their lifestyle for decades. We turn around and look down and make fun of the, you know, 19, 22, 24 year old that's getting married at that age now. And it's kind of just backwards thinking. And what's interesting to see, and you know, we see this with in Praxis and our audience and our customers, I think there's definitely like a countercultural movement of young people that, I mean, we see this day to day, of they just don't want to put up with the nonsense that's like currently socially acceptable. And, you know, if you don't go to college, the social norm is like, there's something wrong with you, whether you were not good enough to get in, which is a joke to think about, or not good enough to excel in college, or you're just such a weird, nonconformist, lazy person that you just decided to, you know, drop out, et cetera. And the exact opposite is happening with people that are opting out of the default path. These are people that are being much more intentional about their life choices, and they can foresee, like, they look at college like, I don't want to take on all that debt, and I am nowhere near convinced that it's going to be a valuable investment into my professional development and getting my career started. I'd much rather, you know, focus on gaining work experience, living within my means. And now it's like, okay, if I'm deciding not to do college, how can I fill the social, you know, social life that I'm looking for?
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it is wild. People are like, oh my gosh, you're getting married so young. Like, most of our parents, you know, like the previous generation, median age for getting married was what, much lower than it is now. I think it's like approaching like 28 or 29 today, which like, I'm saying that, like, you know, going to be 29 when I'm getting married too. So, you know, I think even at a younger age, I always knew that, but let's put that on the shelf for a second. Like, it's not even about whether you do that or not. It's not even about whether you do to college or not, or like,
no, of course
not. It's about, like, the problem with this is the idea that you have to forego things in your life that you actually want them as a cost, as a direct transaction cost of like this hoop you have to jump through. Like, that's the part that just perplexes me so much, that people are just resigned to telling young adults these days that that's just the way that it is. We went to college. You got to go to college. We need an educated populace. So you got to go to college. The value of your education is a priceless investment. And then for 20 years, you're making student loan payments of $350 to $700. And it's just, it's so insane when you think about the bondage you are signing up for as a direct result of the poor financial planning. Like, whether you get a better job or not, for 20 years, in many cases, you're tied to this thing now that you're not getting additional value from. It was just something that was allegedly supposed to help you, you know, at the entry point of your life. It's not something that, like, once you've got the good job, college is supposed to help you get, like, you need it the second time or the third time. It's just, this is how you get, you know, get in the door at the beginning. And now for 20 years, you got to pay for that key over and over and over again. So stupid.
well said. What are some cool examples that you've seen of, like, okay, you know, whether inside practice or not, of people that, because they're not shackled by student debt, this has allowed them to live freer lives essentially. And one of the things I love is that, professionally speaking, if you don't have that debt, then you have far less pressure on yourself to be earning, you know, a specific, you know, a higher income earlier in your career, and you can prioritize learning and learning experiences through your work. And, you know, you can take the 30K salary working in a small business where you are able to play like a utility player role for the business owner versus like, hey, I have to go to a, you know, a more structured, established corporate environment where, you know, their starting entry level position is 50K plus benefits.
Yeah. Well, not to talk out of the other side of my mouth here, but like that was kind of like my deal as well. Is like, I fortunately got out of college without debt. Like I worked my ass off in high school because like I thought that was the way to do it. And, you know, fortunately walked out with no student debt because I got scholarships and worked during college. And there was a much better, more direct path for me to do that. The average young person, whether you go to college or not, like if you do, try and avoid the debt because it does preserve your optionality. But I think about my own life. You know, when I was graduating, there were, we'll just broadly speak about two buckets of friends. Some of them, you know, I was in this bucket, was like, we're going to go on and go to law school, go get an MBA. We're going to go like do the next prestigious thing because that's what, you know, that's what you're taught. And it's ingrained in you from a young age. It's like, do the most prestigious thing. You've got to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then there's the other group of friends that's like, I think most of that's just stupid or it's not what I want or whatever the case. And that was the group in many cases that also walked out with, you know, quite a bit of student debt. And it wasn't like I'm going to double down and, you know, push all my chips into black and hope that medical school or, you know, law school helps me achieve even higher earnings. It's like, I'm going to go out into the real world. I'm a college graduate. I have a bachelor's degree, 22, and I have $20,000 to $30,000 of student debt. And now I have to go make $50,000 to $60,000 a year because I have these payments due. And that's the group that like even the thought of doing something else other than going directly into like working and like finding a job that had a minimum income for it, that wasn't even an option set. For me, like I fell in between those two groups because, you know, I worked a couple jobs that I didn't make a ton of money right out of college, you know, and fortunately this was by, you know, accident, not by design. Fortunately, that gave me the option to quit as I found I didn't like things. It allowed me to continue to go pursue the thing that I like more. And like, ultimately, like, I think it was the string of two or three really low paying internships that ultimately got me into a position, you know, working not for great money at first, but working in an environment that, you know, I moved across the country. I didn't think twice about it. I wasn't like, how am I going to be able to pay my student loan bills? I could go, you know, I could move across the country without thinking about it, the cost of it, not even making a ton of money, and just betting that everything was going to be fine. And it was a calculated decision because I was like, that's going to be a really cool opportunity. Sounds like something that excites me. And I could go jump on that because I didn't have debt. But I think about a lot of those friends that I had who were like, you're crazy. Or, you know, they were like, well, that's good for you, but I can't do those kind of things. And it's just like, I'm not going to tell you you're stupid. I pity that that's the situation you're in. And I pity that so many other people are walking right into that.
Yeah, it's actually crazy to think about. You know, I didn't graduate college with debt either. You know, my family paid for my college education and stuff, but I can't imagine coming out of college with, you know, average student debt. And that would have completely changed my entire approach to getting my career started. I'd probably have two options for me individually. It would have been like, okay, I'm just going to keep going and go to like law school or something and like cross my fingers that, hey, I'll come out of this with a high paying job in law. And yeah, I'm, you know, doubling down on student debt essentially, but you know, it will all work out, kind of go blindly into that decision. Or it would have been, all right, I'm going to, you know, kind of tap into my personal network and make sure that I have a, you know, more steady corporate job getting started. And I think about it, this is something both of us have talked quite a bit about on the podcast, is that I was fortunate that I was able to focus on like a more valuable career discovery of like, what am I interested in? What do I want to be doing? And it's a series of experiments to figure that out. Having that student debt wouldn't have even allowed me to even give myself permission to think about those things.
Yeah.
And that's how they get you. You know, 10 years down the road, once, you know, maybe you're in a more stable position and now it's like, okay, now I have time to think about what I really want.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, it's so unnecessary to put people in that position because now you're used to a certain, you know, lifestyle, you know, you're still probably paying off student debt payments. And now you feel like you finally have the chance to come up for air and think about, you know, maybe your career direction in a more valuable way. But you essentially are starting 10 to 14 years behind where you could have been. Like, I think most people kind of hit that point late 20s, early 30s of having that come to Jesus moment of, oh shoot, I don't love what I do. What, you know, like, how do I fix that for myself? And if you start with a clean slate, it, you know, do the hard work up front. Essentially.
Yeah. One of the other weird things I was thinking about, you're talking about, you know, doubling down on student debt for law school or whatever, is I don't know where I got this. It's probably, you know, the Midwestern, you know, good old Protestant work ethic, like Midwestern values, is I just grew up with a very extreme aversion to debt. And no, like I didn't, you know, my parents didn't sit me down and talk to me about money a ton growing up, but I just had, you know, it was kind of by observation. Like I remember, you know, in high school, I remember, you know, I'd always wanted to go to Ivy League schools. Like I wanted to go to Johns Hopkins or Harvard. And I remember like getting one of those tuition, you know, like invitations to apply and looking at the price tag. And it was just astonishing. And that was like, that planted a seed that later down the road when I was rethinking going to law school, I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I spent. And this was like a really, really dark picture that I was painting in my mind. It was like, I know even with decent scholarships, I'm expecting to go like $100,000 in debt to go, you know, go start my life for the next 3.5 years. And you know, being the romantic, like, just writer I am, I started like taking this to the worst natural conclusion. It was just like, all right, I'm going to be several, you know, $100,000+ in debt. I've got to go start at the bottom and lick boots for several years, you know, as an attorney. Like, I'm going to have no choice but to work 60 to 80 to 100 hours per week, pulling graveyard shifts, like trying to make enough money to pay these things off, which is probably going to lead to me like getting into a bad relationship that ends up failing. And, you know, it was just this really bad cycle that I was playing out in my head as a, yeah, as a way of coping with, like, that's just the way that it is. And that was so scary to me. I'm glad, yeah, I dodged that. But the sad reality is like that is what a lot of people end up finding themselves in, is like all of these ridiculous pressures. So just as a result of student debt. So,
yeah. And I mean, I'm starting to think about, like, okay, like, how can you, like, it comes down to social norms. Like, people go to college because that's what they've been told their entire life. And that's what's socially acceptable. It's the path of least resistance in a pretty negative way. How can you make these things more, how can you make opting out more socially acceptable? And one, I think it's happening before, yeah, our very eyes right now, but how can you accelerate that process? You know, I honestly don't know. I think, you know, our part of my thoughts on how Praxis plays a part is just like the more successful options that are out there, now you can make choices, and yeah, and that's the biggest thing. So you need to have somewhere to go if you're opting out. But even like those social things, like most 18-year-olds are not thinking about what is my life going to be like 10 years from now when I have this student, these student debt payments, and I'm trying to get married or, yeah, buy a house, and like, how is this going to impact those decisions?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually very, very hopeful for the future. And for a lot of reasons. One of them is that I think, you know, technology, I'll come back to technology in a second, but I think that like student debt, the Great Recession that we lived through, like a lot of these things have created a generation of just cynics among like millennials and maybe in slightly older crowd as well. It's like, and we have turned these bad things into memes. Like meme culture has come up where everybody's just like laughs at how stupid college is and like student debt. And there's like this meme culture around it where it's just like, it's kind of like you see these things and you want to laugh, but you can't because it's too painful and you roll your eyes. And like, the thing is, technology has proliferated this cynicism, and the next generation is watching and they're seeing it, and they're being inundated with all this information that we didn't have. Like, the social norms, I think, are being torn down to some degree because this next generation is just like, that's so stupid. Like, why would you go? Like, yeah, it's so impractical and stupid. And yeah, not everybody has caught on, but I think that there's, sure, a growing fire there among younger, you know, younger adults that makes me.
Yeah, I love the nonchalant approach that younger people have of just like, why would I do? What, essentially, you know, the stereotypical version is for Gen Z is like, why would I ever do the same path that millennials were on? Like, yeah, they don't seem like happy people to me. Yeah. You know, their whole grip is they've been complaining about things for, you know, throughout their 20s, essentially. So definitely share that optimism, very helpful for, you know, this kind of upcoming generation in just making better decisions and not feeling quite as much, you know, social familial pressure to do what, you know, your parents did essentially. We're, yeah, the farther we are removed from like peak, like nonconformist years of like, all right, 70s, 80s, like everyone just goes to college and you're not, you know, our parents grew up going to college and were not penalized for it.
Yeah.
They didn't have to take on all the student debt. And because of that, they raise their kids be like, yeah, of course, why would you not go to college?
Yeah.
And now we've seen for the last 15, 20 years, the increasing consequences and costs of college.
Well, here's another statistic I'll throw out. So like over that same time span of like when our millennials parents were going to college, so like late 70s, 80s, from that time span to present day, the cost of college has outpaced median income, median right. wages by 2.5 times. So like the yeah. growth in cost of college is going up like this. Wages are going like this. Why would you keep going at that rate? Like, forget about the education aside, just like the impracticality of that. And I think that for a lot of young adults, especially like our generation, millennials, like people in their 30s now, a lot of their parents, that trend hadn't really started to, it wasn't so much of a negative impact yet. We hadn't started to see the longer tail consequences of it. So parents were still just like, no, that's what you got to do. Like parents are fighting with their kids, like, no, you're going to go to college, you know? And, right. and I think that we're now entering that next wave where parents are like, some are millennial parents, but
right.
I think some of those parents are like, man,
they've been shackled with the student debt.
Yeah. A lot of parents are picking up the bills. And that's terrible too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, but we now have parents that are getting, they now have kids that are getting to college age.
And they're still paying off their loans.
They're still paying off their own student loans. And now it's like they feel that pain point more than anyone. And so, you know, and one, because they've been paying off their student loans, they also have, you know, probably this is an uneducated opinion because I'm sure we can look this up, but they probably can't be paying into the college savings.
Yeah, 529s. Yeah.
As much either. So they are less equipped to help their kids even fund college because of their own student debt, would be my guess.
And even if they have gotten that point, they're probably still looking back at like, holy shit, I just paid off my loans 2 years ago. The last thing I want to do is like start for college again.
It's like raising your kids, getting them to age 18 and out of the house. And then it's like, oops, we got pregnant again. Start this all over.
And that just seems like the most meaningless, painful existence too. If it's just this continuous yeah. perpetual cycle of like, I'm just trying to do well enough to get by so I can escape it only to re-enter the rat race again. Like that just like the hamster wheel existence.
Yep. Yeah. Mediocre job, bunch of student debt, raising kids, sending them to college to do the same, you know, rinse and repeat. That's not quite the inspiration I'm looking for.
All I got.
All right. Rant over. And there we go. Talk next week.